right. So I know I'm in my lesson, but babe, I realized I don't think I took enough money out the bank for the next for the next people coming for the game. So we'll have to get that. All right. Okay. Matthew 6:21. Matthew 6:21. And we're in a series entitled "Live to Give." Everybody with a strong voice say "Live to Give."
Live.
That's good. Now, giving is a matter of the heart. Giving is a matter of the heart. Matthew 6:21 teaches us, for where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. Where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. So some kind of way, there is a string that is attached from your heart to your wallet, or your heart to your pocketbook. Does that make sense? And the Bible teaches us that. And we see this, and we talked about this earlier in John 3:16, because the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So not only did God give to us, but he gave us his very best, all right? And so, you know, WLCC is doing big things. How many know that? I mean, we are really doing big things. We do big things. We've got all these buildings and land, and then we give to missions big time. We do a lot of things in the community. We do a lot of things in house. Like, we're always giving. You got it? Like, just think about the games and how many 20s you give away. You know, all, at the end of the day, that's $400 or $500. You know, we're just givers. And so. You know, I think this past week we fed the basketball team at West Craven and all the staff. I think we fed like 75 people. And so we're always doing these things because we understand that we are blessed to be a blessing. And you have to understand in your life that you are blessed to be a blessing. But at the same time, our ministry, we live by faith. We live by faith based on everything that we do, that the more we give, that the more God is going to give back to us. And then we also believe that we have 100% tithers and offering givers at our church, that everybody's coming, that they're seeing the vision, they're seeing what we're doing, they're like, man, I like this, I get it, I understand it, and I understand the word on giving, and I know that this is God's plan to prosper my life, and this is a good place to sow good seed, amen? And so, I have a big question. Everybody say big question.
Big question.
If everyone in this church gave like you, what would the condition of our church be? I just want you to think about that. Like, if everybody gave like you, you got it. What would? And I'm not talking about amount, so don't take that the wrong way. But I'm talking about as a matter of the heart. Like, when I get my, you know, check, I'm always going to go and, you know, I'm going to give God the first. I'm going to give tithe. I'm going to give offering, just whatever it is. Another question: if everyone in this, if everyone served on the dream team the way you do, what would the condition of our dream team be? You got it? Because that's another way that we give, too. We give of our time. We give of our time, we give our talent, and we give of our treasures, all right? Giving is the verb of the Bible. Giving is the verb of the Bible. In the Bible, we see the word believe 272 times. We see the word pray 371 times. We see the word love 714 times. But watch this. We see the word give 2,161 times. So giving is the verb of the Bible, all right? And so it is. I think you'll understand that it's the will of God that we are givers, all right? Psalms 37:21 says that the wicked borrow and never repay. But watch this. But the godly are what class? Generous givers. It is the will of God that we be generous givers. Proverbs 11:25, and I love this scripture, and I live by this scripture. Like I live by all the Bible. Y'all know that. But there's certain scriptures that I just have such a strong conviction. The Bible says that a generous person will prosper. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I believe because I'm generous and I'm super generous that I'm always going to prosper. I don't worry about my future. You know, some people, oh, you just got to be careful because when you get older, you might have enough. No. Listen, I believe in saving and I believe in retirement and all that, but I am always going to have enough. I put money away in, you know, in IRAs, 401ks, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if the economy tanks and all the money goes down, it doesn't matter because I am a generous person, God has committed that he's going to make sure that I always prosper. Does that make sense? Because I'm always refreshing others, I am going to be refreshed. All right? So giving is a matter of the heart. I want to show you something in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, which is very interesting. I think a couple Tuesday nights ago, I began to share with you how Paul began to teach, to write a letter to the church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi were very generous in their giving. They were just very, very generous in their giving. And he began to thank them, and he said, you gave once and again into my necessity, not desire, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He's teaching them the importance of giving, and when they give, what happens, and those kind of things. And he says, you know, you are partakers of my grace. Because you sow into my life, my ministry, same grace that's on me is on you. And so he begins to talk about that. And then there was churches like the church at Corinth that they were smart, they were intelligent, they had good work skills. They built really nice buildings and stuff, but they were not givers. And he found out that the churches that gave, watch this, begin to excel much more than the churches that did not give. And the churches that did not give to him, he didn't bother them because he didn't want no problems, just like most pastors. You understand what I'm saying? Don't want no problems, don't want to fuss with anybody. But not overnight, over time, he saw how the church of Corinth became inferior to all the other churches, Macedonia churches, the churches that gave. So watch this. And remember, when I'm reading this, this is a letter. So even though we see chapter and verse, it's really just one letter that Paul wrote. So watch this, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 7. So now he's admonishing the church at Corinth to give. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Watch this. He says, in the midst of a very severe trial, so they were going through something. He said, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and watch this, and even beyond their ability. So even when they hit a tough time, they didn't stop giving. He said, and they did this entirely on their own. And that is why pastor does not fuss or call somebody and say, you need to make sure you're giving. You know, no, we don't do that, because giving's a matter of the heart. Does that make sense? Like, nobody in this room got a call last night from any of the leaders of the church saying, make sure you bring your tithes, right? Like, when the buckets came by, an usher didn't stand there a little bit longer and be like, nodding, like, I didn't see you do anything. You know, you need to double up, double or nothing. No, you didn't see that, right? No, because you have to do it as you purpose in your own heart, right? They urgently pleaded with us, watch this, for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And so they saw giving as a privilege, and it is. And they exceeded our expectations. So Paul, watch this, just like pastor has an expectation that you guys are going to give. You're going to give of your tithe. You're going to give of your offering on our big giving day. I have an expectation, just like Paul had an expectation. And the Bible, and Paul says, man, they exceeded our expectation. They gave of themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. So we needed Titus to help you guys out, because they got it, but y'all don't, and we need to teach all this. He said, but since, watch this, you got to get this, since you excel in everything, like it's not like you don't know or you don't understand, because let's be honest, most people know that giving is the right thing to do. Isn't that right? He says, so since you excel in everything, he said, you excel in faith, you excel in speech, you excel in knowledge, in complete earnest, and in the love that we have kindled in you. He said, you're doing real good. He said, but you need to see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So it's not that you're bad people. He said, you're good people, but you need to learn how to operate in this grace of giving, all right? Because giving is not what? That's right. Giving's not a game, but it's God's plan to prosper your life. So Paul keeps on. Watch this. So he lays out this whole long letter explaining to them why you need to give. And then when you drop down to 2 Corinthians 12 and 13, he says, for in what respect were you put to a disadvantage in comparison to the rest of the churches? Unless it was for the fact that I myself did not burden you. I didn't talk to you. I didn't write you and say, hey, you really need to support me. I just left you alone. I saw you weren't doing it, so I didn't bother you. He said, I did not burden you with my financial support. He says, watch this. He says, pardon me for doing you this injustice. In the KJV, he said it made you inferior. He said, forgive me this wrong. So we see that giving is extremely important. And watch this. If I was to take half of the church and split it down the middle and take this half and teach you guys on giving and admonish you to give and even push you a little bit, not pressure because I don't believe in that, but just push you, because what I'm doing now is just pushing you. I'm teaching you the word of God, right? Because faith comes by hearing, right? And push you to do it. And then you begin to give. The bottom line is you're going to prosper. because the Bible's true. But if I take this half and I can tell y'all ain't really feeling, so okay, no problem. I'm just gonna leave you alone. I'm not gonna say anything to you. Watch this, not necessarily overnight, but over time, this side is going to see this side prospering. And then this side will be inferior or be put at a disadvantage because this side was not doing what this side was doing to get to where they were. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap right there. Thank you for it. All right, 9 minutes. 9 minutes. I can do this. You can do this. Put me in, coach. I can do this. All right. All right. So when it comes to giving, this is a mistake that most people give. Most people happen. The bucket comes by and they put the money in. And the bucket goes by, and they see giving as losing instead of giving as gaining. Not understanding that seed leaves your hand, but it never leaves your life. It goes into your future, it prepares your harvest, and it waits on your arrival. Watch this. Why does the Bible teach us that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? Because my receiving is based on my giving. Luke 6 and 38, I'll show it to you. It says, give, help me out, class, and what's going to happen? It shall be given unto you, right? Yeah, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. When I read this and understand, he said, given, it shall be given unto you. And he said, how it's going to be given? He said, I'm going to cause men to give into your bosom. So watch this. I wasn't so excited about somebody was going to give to me. I wanted God to raise me up to be the man that was able to give out. Does that make sense? Because if I'm able to give out, that must mean I have much more. Does that make sense? So God is looking for channels he can flow through. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you. When you release what's in your hand, God releases what's in his, and his hands are bigger than ours. So I learned this principle of giving. It radically changed my life. I told you my testimony last year, how I went from making $6.25 an hour to starting a business and just making millions of dollars. It was just a supernatural thing. But it was because I really honed in on this and said, okay, God, I'm going to prove you. I'm going to see if this thing works. And my testimony might not be the exact same as your testimony, but if you will be a giver, you're going to have your own testimony of how God has done amazing things for you. Does that make sense? You know, I could use some of you all, in the room. As much as I pick on, Eric, he's our head usher, 49ers guy. You know, I love him. I think about him and Shirley. You got it? And how the doctor said they'd never have a baby again. And they might as well just quit and give up. And they came and talked to us. Oh, wait a minute. You're a giver. And so because you're a giver, that puts you in covenant with God. And there are promises that belong to you because you are in covenant with God. So giving is not just about getting money back. That is why if you're rich, you still got to give. Does that make sense? And so, we pray, and how old is Jalea now? 7, 8 years old running around here. You understand? I high-fived her this morning when I on the way to the kids' wing. You got it? Then we say that's their miracle baby, right? So watch this. The doctor said no, but because they are givers and they're in covenant with God, God said yes. Does that make sense? You got it. You know, a lot of you all know Pastor Pat and Minister Deb, and they've adopted 5 children. They have 5 kids. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, there's a grace on us all for several things. Amen. And so, so when they come to my house, and I love when they come to my house, it's real noisy at my house, right? And so one day, everybody's at my house. I said, everybody, hey, hold on, wait a minute, everybody stop. I said, listen to that. And they didn't get it. I was like, that's the sound that I'm normally used to at my house. But when they were believing for the girls, Etsy, Ty, and Sia, to come from Haiti, a whole bunch of craziness happened. They were, they had paid all this money. I mean, thousands upon thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. They were believing God, and things went wrong, and lawyers messed up, and the government over there is so corrupt, and they were making it seem like they would never, ever be able to get their kids. But because they're givers, you got it, and they were in covenant with God, even though Haiti and all the people over there said no, you got it, God said yes. And so what happened was, even in the midst of a situation where there was an earthquake came and it was devastation, and it would make it seem like, oh man, it's really going to be hard now because everything is all messed up, they get a call and say, come get your babies. So that's why I'm trying to get you to see that giving is more than just getting money back. Because I have rich people that tell me, well, I don't need to give because I have money. You're missing it. 2 Corinthians 9, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. You got it. Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you always, under all circumstances, you know, may have. And so you got it. You got to understand he's able to make all grace abound toward you so that you have all sufficiency in all things and not just money. Does that make sense? So giving puts us in covenant with God. And so because I'm in covenant with God, I'm telling you, because I'm in covenant with God, I don't worry about anything. Because I'm in covenant with God, my children will always be good. You got it? My marriage will always be good. My money will always be good. And even if I go through a tough time, God will get me through it. Because, watch this, because I'm a giver does not exempt me, because I'm a believer does not exempt me from going through tough times, but God always commits that he'll get me through those tough times. Does that make sense? Oh, okay, play something court so we can get up out of here because yeah, let me just do this. This is a good place. This is a good place. I'll skip all that other stuff. That's all good too, but this is good too. All right, giving is not. It's God's plan to prosper my life. Giving positions you to live an amazing life. But it's according to your faith, be it unto you. The reason I live the life I live is because I believe for this life. And I apply the principles of the Word of God to see the life that I live. All right? A lot of people are in view, but they're not in position. See, if I'm coming to church but not giving, I'm in view of what God wants me to have, but I'm not in position to receive it. But if I'm coming to church and I'm consistently giving, I'm in position to receive everything that God has for me. So I'll tell you a quick story. This is my closing story. So I used to take Jay to Creekside Elementary when he was in, I don't know, first, second grade. They call it carpool. I'm not really sure why they call it the carpool line. But, you know, you probably know. I didn't look into it. But anyways, because it was just me and Jay. But anyways, so I was always the first one there. You got it. I was always the first one there. And, you know, of course, the teacher doesn't show up until, let's just say, 7:30. Me and Jay are outside at 7:10. You understand? Why am I doing that? Because I'm trying to teach him how to be on time. You got it, you know. And then it gives me time to talk with him, pray with him, spend time with him, those kind of things. And then all the cars would always come up behind me. And so what happened was the teacher would pull up typically around 7:20, 7:28, and then the teacher would park and then walk across over and would get in position. When he got in position, you open the door and then you let your children out. Well, the people behind me always got upset with me. You know, they'd blow the horn. They wouldn't understand why I wouldn't just drop my kid off because they saw the teacher, you know, pulling up. And so their whole thing was, the teacher's on the lot, you know, so just let the kids go. Teacher be here in a minute. I'd never do it. You got it. People mad at me, you know, what's up, you know. But that ain't the finger they gave me, you know. And so what happened was, one day the teacher walked over to the car after I let Jay out, and he said, listen, I want you to know I really appreciate you always waiting until I get into position before you let Jay out. He says, what these parents don't understand is there's a rule, you know, it's a legal rule at our school. He said, and the rule states that if the teacher is in view meaning I'm just parking in view, and they go ahead and let their kids out before I get in position, when they let their kids out, if anything happens to the kid, the liability falls on the parent and not the school. He said, but once I walk over and get in position and you open the door and let your kids out, if anything happens to the kid, the liability is not on the parent, but the liability is now on the school because I wasn't in view, but I was in position. If I'm not a giver and I'm not in covenant with God and things go haywire in my life, the liability does not fall on God, but the liability falls on me. But if I am a giver and I am in covenant with God, it doesn't matter if all hell breaks loose in my life. The liability does not fall on me. The liability falls on God. And God says, and I am able to do exceeding abundantly far above all that you can ask or think. So God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Get this. Sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention. And it causes him to move. So you got to learn how to start living out of God's hands, because God's hands are bigger than yours. So I want to stretch you today. See, once you've been stretched, you never go back to the way you came before, you know. If I was to invite Brian up here, you got it, and take my shirt off and give him my shirt to put it on, you got it, and him to give it back to me, guess what's going to happen? That shirt's going to be stretched out. You got it? And once it's stretched out, it's always going to be stretched out. And once you've been stretched, you never go back to the place you came. So I'm trying to stretch you in this area of giving to show you that it's not a game. And so I want to challenge you on a consistent basis to be a consistent tither and offering giver. That every time you get any kind of increase, that you always give it to God. Always give the first to God. The first is the tithe. You got it? And then we believe in giving tithes and offerings. So the offer, how much is the offering? That's just whatever is in your heart. You got it? Just whatever. If I sow sparingly, I reap sparingly. If I sow bountifully, I reap bountifully. That's the rule when it comes to offering. But that's whatever's in your heart to do. You got it? And so I want to stretch you to be consistent. Because sometimes you'll do good for a while, and then you'll just fall off. And I'm not knocking you, because we all have hit bumps in the road in different areas of our lives. But I'm challenging you to be consistent in this area. And then I'm challenging you on March 1st to sow a sacrificial seed. And only you know what's a sacrifice for you. And typically a sacrifice is something that stretches you, kind of hurts you, kind of tugs on your heart. You're like, ooh, that's a sacrifice. And I promise you, if you pray to God, if you haven't yet, he'll tell you what he wants you to give. Does that make sense? All right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know a few of our leaders have to move, but if